Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Nigel Fraser.
Just pray, Heavenly Father, just pray, Lord, I'm going to close our eyes and get their attention off me and attention on you. We just praise you, Lord Jesus. Just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, just to, just have a time, Lord, just to study your word and see what you're saying to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God is on the move on the earth today, isn't he? You know, someone said to me the other day, oh, isn't it terrible, the church is going down, the established church is going down, churches are shutting, Christianity seems to be going downhill. And I thought to myself, no, that's not happening. There's organisations, traditional organisations are going down, man's way of doing things is going down, but what God is doing on the earth is increasing. Yeah. Amen. And when we went out to India, we went out to the Punjab. And one of the reasons I was attracted to go on this mission was not only was it going to establish a build up of work that was already going on, but it's going to take us into a new area. So remember the word new area, okay? So we went into Punjab, and so we went into, which is a state in northwest India by the Pakistan border, and it's called Panchjab, which means five rivers. I think Rachel can verify that. Beautiful state, very, very fertile. Two-thirds of it's owned by Pakistan and one-third's owned by India. And we went into this state and we were pushing into a new area. And we came within 20 miles of Amritsar, the Golden Temple, which is the heart of a Sikh stronghold in India. And what amazed me is God is definitely moving in North India. Christianity has moved from position number four in terms of being the fourth leading religion in India to number three. And the Sikhs have gone below the Christians, and you know, they were, and it's amazing what God is doing. There's such a hunger. It's difficult to get into India, but when you get into India, there's such an openness to the gospel. And lots of young people and lots of young men, they really want to know what God's doing, and they'll listen to a sermon, they'll listen to teaching all morning, and then for about 2 hours afterwards, they'll come and ask you questions. They'll say, what about this, what about that? And that's people who have been Christians 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 15 months. And in the first conference we did, there was two Indian Hindu sadhus, actually all in their robes, they actually came and they sat right starting the meeting, and they loved it. We then went to another church in Punjab. And it's just such a shame I can't show the video, because you'd see a Punjabi church, traditional Punjabi church, no Western trappings, all turbans, beards, long hair, amazing multicoloured sort of clothing that the women were wearing, worshipping God, glorifying God. And they don't know lukewarm Christianity. Because their pastors are so on fire for God, they immediately come into tongue shouting, shaking, Bible proclaiming sort of Christianity, and that's all they know. They only know the good stuff. They've come straight into it. You know what? God's given us a job to do, and the job. If we go back to, I'm going to talk about the job that we've got to do. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this is as far as my knowledge of eschatology goes. It's all I want to know, really. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Right? Dead easy. Really, really, really simple. Christianity is simple. The things that God wants us to understand are very, very easy. God wants the gospel everywhere, all over the world. Yeah? And that is the job. So being a quiet, introspective Christian isn't what God wants you to do. He wants you to actually proclaim. He wants you to praise. He wants you to worship. He wants you to pray. He wants you to share the word of God that you've got, the revelation that you've got, the life that you've got. Yeah? And it isn't just for the professionals at the front. It's for everybody. That's why there's such a change going on in Christianity, because it's a move from the traditional form of Christianity to God releasing everybody. Yeah? And we're going to look at how. And all of us mess up at times. None of us is perfect. But the only perfect one was Jesus. We all mess up because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Don't let that stop you. Okay? And if you look at Matthew, John chapter 21, we can hear about how Peter got his job back. You've got Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, this is chapter 21. I don't give you much time to find my references. Nathaniel, who was from Cana in Galilee, the two sons of Zebedee. Now, I must say, they did not were not part of the magic roundabout, if you're old enough to remember that. Together agreed to go fishing, when Peter took the lead by saying, "I'm going fishing." So they boarded a boat all night, fished all night, but caught nothing. Yeah? That's a picture of traditional Christianity. Yeah? That's a picture trying to do it without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God. You can work at it all night and catch nothing. It's the picture of your life as a pew warmer. Boring. Boring! I hate it! You know, you're doing nothing, you're catching nothing, your life's got no quality, yeah? You haven't found out your reason, you're just going through the motions. Christianity and going to church is just a club, it's just a social club. And that's what it's like when you're fishing all night and you're catching nothing. Your life is dry, it's boring, you're in a river of death, you're going downhill, yeah? You've got no purpose, you've got no passion, you've got no enthusiasm, the quality of your life is low. Yeah, you go and see a GP, get your antidepressants, but you know, it's rubbish. Early in the morning, they saw Jesus standing on the shore. They didn't recognise it was him. He called them, "Friends, have you caught anything?" "Nothing," they answered. "Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find fish there." How does he know what we've got to do? We're fishermen. We've been working all our lives as fishermen. Who's that landlubber telling us what to do? You know, we know this water like the back of a hand. If there's no fish on the left side, how can there be fish on the right side? Yeah? This would be going through the mind, but sounds a bit familiar. Has someone said something like this to them before? I don't know. So they did so, and they were unable to haul the net on board because of a large number of fish that had been caught. Then John, the beloved disciple, said to Peter, "It's the Lord!" And when Peter heard this, he took his outer garment, put it on, and jumped in the water. And they're about 100 metres from shore, and when they landed, oh, what a lovely scene, idyllic. Oh, can you imagine that? Lovely, fresh dawn, you know, lovely, clean, little campfire here. Jesus sat on the beach, just relaxing. He's relaxed, he's chilled. He's not been fishing all night. He's had a good night's sleep, you know. And he's just sat there, and he's got a little fire in front of him. He's got a fish there. Lovely scene. Beautiful sort of beach and lovely water, lovely view of some hills, and he sat there and he's got some bread there. He said, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." So Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net to dry land. It was full of 153 large fish. I don't know the meaning of the 153. You know, you'll have to find that out yourself. And despite their weight, the net was not torn. "Come and have some breakfast," Jesus said to them. And none of them dared to ask, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. You see, when you do things God's way, you get results. Yeah? So if you see something going down and there's no fruit, there's no figs on it, then it's not of God, is it? Because if God's, God's working all over the earth, the reality is that God's work is increasing. Every day, God's work is never going back, because God is not a failure. God's a success. And he's inviting you to join into his success. And what God wants is he wants, you see, when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, he's transforming me from being the pew warmer, he's transforming you and putting a drive inside of you that changes you. You could say, "Well, I'm not naturally the kind of person given to pray and worship, I tend to go off to sleep." Or, "I'm not the kind of person that stays at work doing a sermon," or all this kind of stuff. But God's saying, "I want you out of your seat," and the Holy Spirit starts to move you. Yeah, and you can say, "Well, maybe he hasn't chosen me." Well, if you go to John 15 verses 16, it says, "You did not choose me. No, it was I who chose you. But I not only choose you to belong to me." You see, God hasn't just called you to be a Christian. He says, "I also commission you to go and bear fruit that will be of eternal significance." Eternal significance. Your life has significance. That's what the course Julie was talking about. You know, as you go to do that, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So that means the people that are going forth with the Great Commission, they have the best quality life. Yeah? Because they get whatever they ask of the Father. There's a connection, isn't there? Do you see the connection? Wasn't an accident, he put it there. You know, you look at Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. What's the difference between an ordinary Christian and a disciple? An ordinary Christian is a church attender, the pew warmer. Yeah? A disciple, which I was for many years. I've been a Christian 28 years. I've had a good go at being a pew warmer, so I know what I'm talking about. And, you know, and it says, and I decided, this is boring. Boring, I don't like it. I don't like it. And in the end, you start not liking going to church. And then everything doesn't suit you. You're never happy with anything. Yeah? But when you become a disciple, you move into quality of life. Because you find your purpose. We love going to India. We encountered things that you have never seen. What we experienced in India, the way God was moving, I was just connecting with that land. I just found it, and I never cry. Elka can tell you, I never cry. But I tell you, tears were coming to my eyes when I saw what God was doing. And I thought, this is God. And I could just feel the love of the Father. Oh, it was just amazing. It was just awesome. And when you saw those 300, 400 people, a lot of them had been Sikhs, a lot of them still wearing turbans, and they were worshipping God. I thought, this is incredible. And even though I was just a bag carrier for Richard George, you know, that was my job. And I only got little speaks here and there. I got invited to three separate states independently. I've been invited to the state of Bihar, and anyone's welcome to come with me. It's full of snakes and scorpions, so you're very welcome. Anyone wants to come, yeah, just come and sign up at the end. And to Himachal, which is in the Himalayas, and I got invited back to Punjab. They said, we don't care where you come to in India. We will come and find you and get you and bring you to our church to speak. Yeah. And I thought, praise God, that is a clear, definite offering. It's not the flesh, it's an open door. And I left feeling excited. I thought, this is brilliant. Amen. You know, when the Holy Spirit gets on the inside, there's a drive comes in. I've got to get out there. Yeah? And I came back with a bit of a cough and a cold because of the air con and stuff. And I was thinking, oh no, I can't be bothered, you know. And the Holy Spirit's saying, Nigel, book your next air ticket. Are you going to Zambia in July? No, I don't want to do it. And this is on Tuesday, and God's saying, you're going to Zambia. And the Holy Spirit was like prompting me. And by Saturday morning, I said, okay, I'll book it. And then the joy comes in because God is excited. God's having fun. The only person who's not having fun is the devil. So you don't want to have fun, you go and join the devil. You want to have fun, you go and join God, yeah? Okay, right. He says, go and make disciples of all the nations. And it's baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That means immersing them in the knowledge of God. On, immersing them. You know, you can only teach people the things that you know. So if you know one thing, go and teach that to somebody else. Teach them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. See, that's a special... When you start going with God, God goes with you. When you jump in the river, you become the river. And the river becomes you. Yeah? You just merge in with God. And God merges in with you. That's what it's about. You know, John 15, verses 8. And some people say, oh, well, I've been working so hard for many years and God's never produced much fruit in my life and I'm really spiritual because I've hung in there. You know, but John 15, verses 8 says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Yeah? We have seen a breakthrough in our mission. The way of the Spirit is translated into Hindi. It's now been translated into Punjabi, which is another big people's language, another major language in India. Not only do they speak Punjabi in India, they speak it in Pakistan, yeah? So we can come back with our Punjabi translations, give them to Punjabi speakers in the UK, which there's a lot, and they can take it into Pakistan, because it's very difficult to get across the Indian-Pakistan border because of all the weapons that are in the way. Yeah, so we saw it was amazing, their military base. I was so impressed by all the tanks and all the armoured vehicles. I felt so secure, you know. And it says, Ezekiel, having been in the military myself, I like these kind of things. Ezekiel 47, verses 9. Everything will live wherever the river goes. You see, God wants to get into your life. Yeah, he wants you to get into him. If you're standing outside the river and you're just dipping in your toes, or you're just up to your ankles, you're not getting the full benefits, are you? It's obvious, yeah. There's Ezekiel 47, there's a very well-known passage of scripture. Well, it's well-known to me anyway. Hopefully maybe you can read about it sometime. And it's a river of life that comes out of the temple. I think I've quoted this one before. And as you go, first ankles, then it goes, walks 1,000 furlongs or something, and it comes up to your knees, and then walk another 1,000, it comes up to your waist, walk another 1,000, it comes up to your chest, and walk another 1,000, and you're swimming in it, yeah? And that's the river of God. But everywhere the river of God goes, there is life. Amen, amen. Everywhere, yeah? So that means that God goes into your past, yeah? Don't let your past destroy your life. God wants to go into your past and make it positive. He wants to make all your past positive. Yeah? Because you can pray about things that you did wrong in the past, and then God can transform them into blessings for the people that you harmed. Do you know that? God wants to transform your present. He wants to make all your present positive. He wants to make all your future positive. Yeah? Nothing is impossible for God. That's the river, yeah? Because when you're in the river of God and you're immersed in it and you're hurtling down at great speed down this Himalayan sort of white water thing that God's put you in, then you're out of control. Then God's hitting your past, He's hitting your present, He's hitting your future, because God's outside of time. Yeah? Amen? And it says, along the banks of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of tree used for food. Their leaves won't wither. You're not going to wither. Amen. You want to die with your boots on, guys. And their fruit will not fail. I'm not quite keen on that, actually. I want to die with boots on. I got that revelation from visiting my grandma. My grandma's 100. I'm not going in a residential home. They're not putting me down. When you go in there, your chips are down. That's what she said. I'm 100. And when you're 100, you do the same. Don't let them put you in a residential home. And that, I don't know, but God did something, it just hit me. It must have been God. A God statement. You don't want some, in the NHS we're full of managers. NHS has got so many managers, more managers than patients. And it's true. And their job is just to go around making life difficult for the working staff that are doing the job. And these managers, right, they also run residential homes. So I realise she's right. You get managed the NHS. I don't want them when I retire. I want to die with my boots on. Yeah, and I think that's a good statement there. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from a sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Yeah? Their leaves for medicine. See everywhere, because if you cooperate with God, everywhere you go, you're the river.
Amen, amen, amen.
So in your workplace, the river is flowing. Yeah, in your family life, the workplace is going. Yeah, when you go on mission, the river is flowing. Yeah, bring in life, bring in healing, bring in revelation. Yeah, and every time you're doing something proactive, see, I believe in proclamation Christianity. I believe in proclaiming, speaking out, praising, worshipping, praying, because as you're actively doing it, that is all mission. Yeah, you can be on mission when you come to church in the morning. You don't have to go to Pakistan or India or anywhere like that. Although we sign you all up for it. You don't have to go to those places, but you are coming. But when you come to church, you can say, right, I'm on mission. I'm on praising God. You see, as you give out, you receive pressed down, running over, shaking together. When you've been to somewhere like that and you've come back on your airport and you've travelled halfway across the world, you're so grateful to get back into a church like this. You say, oh, thank God, I'm home again. Yeah, it's good to get out, but it's good to get back. And you feel, this is so much life here.
Yeah.
And you're grateful. You love it. You think, I connect, this is home, I'm back home. Yeah? But you only get that feeling when you're going out. The people that remain behind all the time, they don't experience that. Yeah? Because you've got to give out to receive back. Yeah? And I just love this church. It's just so amazing. If you think what was here before, there was no spiritual life before. But we are now part of a pioneer church. It's exciting. It's missionary. It's cutting edge. It's part of what God is doing. It's so full of life. It's so full of the Spirit of God. And Paul hasn't paid me £10 to say this, you know. But it is. It's so good to be here. Yeah. And you're with your friends and it's good. And you feel, yes, I'm part of something worthwhile. It makes me being in Scarborough worthwhile. It makes my job worthwhile. Yeah. To be part of this, because I can know when I'm on mission, I'm part of something effective. When I'm back at home at church, I'm part of something effective, something that's growing. There's a life of God has been planted in the worst street in North Yorkshire. That is exciting, yeah? Yeah. We are a missionary people. Just by coming along this morning, you've signed up to the missions. Yeah. Right, so where can we send you? That's so horrible. All right. Acts 1:8. I don't want to go, send some of them. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Yeah? And the Holy Spirit is God's representative on the earth. Yeah? So the Holy Spirit's going to, everything in the Bible is going to be in the heart of the Holy Spirit, and it's on the inside of you, and it's going to become a driving force. And you've got to take it, to be a disciple, you've got to take your hands off your own life, and you've got to say, God, what do you want to do with my life? Yeah? You've got to give him the control. And then he's going to start to say, one more house, one more street, one more village, one more town, one more nation. He's going to say, get across that forest. Get through that jungle, go over that mountain, go over that hill, go over that sea, go over that ocean, go where no one else is going, yeah? Go to Eastern Congo behind the United Nations, yeah? This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's saying, get out there. There's a movement of God in this end time that is getting the gospel out to every nation, every land, every continent, yeah? And you've got to stop saying, I don't want to leave my little bed. I want to get out. I don't want to leave my little comfortable lounge reading my Christian books. I want to get that the front door is for going out. Yeah? Yeah? I want to use every mode of transport. God put some mileage on my clock. Yeah? God, we're all cars. We've all got mileometer things. And God's saying, get some mileage done for the kingdom of heaven. Yeah? You know? You say, stop looking at your finances. I've said this before. You know, it's a bit repetition, but stop looking at finances and limitations. Yeah? Sign yourself up and then trust God is going to open up the door for you to go. Amen? It says, you will receive power. You know, it's the power of God. You stand up there. You know, one of the guys who went out, I took a 68-year-old guy out, and his knees were knocking as we pushed him to the front, you know, and his knees were knocking. He was almost having a nervous breakdown. And we said, speak. But the Holy Spirit moved. And God just graced him. And there's a huge queue of people coming up to him afterwards. Wanting ministry. And all he had was just like 1 minute's worth of something to say. But God filled it because the power of the Holy Spirit came on his life. Yeah? We sent an 80-year-old woman out to Rwanda, and she came back. And she's fine. You know, no one has died that we sent out so far. And it's a Judea, Samaria. You know, I've not been to Judea and Samaria, but it's written in here, I've got to go. Yeah, I've got to go. You know, you should read that. You should look at the Bible and say, this is what it says. You know, so I must have to go to these places because it's written in the book. Yeah? We're part of the continuing book of Acts, aren't we? You know, everything the Bible teaches is consistent. Revelation chapter 22. You know, there's a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its streets, on either side of the river, is a tree of life, which bears 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. You see, abundance, abundant fruit, fruitfulness. Yeah, you know, your life should be so full of activity, you can think, how can I pack in getting to every nation of the world? You should have that mentality. Yeah, you should say, I've got to keep going, I've got to go. It's like, I have never been to Zambia before. I've never, the places I'm going to, I've never even heard the names of the city. Ndola. Has anyone been to Ndola before? Have you ever heard of Ndola? Well, I'm going to Ndola in July. Yeah? Do you know what it's like? You don't know what it's like. Okay. No, I don't know what it's like. I don't even know if there's a McDonald's there or anything, but I'm going! Yeah? You know, who's heard of Bathinda? Bathinda? Bathinda in India? I'd never heard of it, but I was there. They've got a 100-foot god there. Yeah? But our God is bigger than a 100-foot god. Yeah. The leaves of the tree were for the healing. Do you know what was amazing? We went into these, we were invited into this, they're so hungry. This Sikh, still practicing Sikhism, invited us into his flat and he wanted prayer. He didn't want just quiet prayer. We were there an hour. Yeah. He said, because he was just, he knew that God answered our prayers. Because we prayed for his daughter to get a job and she became the magistrate of the town. Yeah. Or someone else had prayed. So not us, but somebody, when I say us, I mean the church. Yeah. And so he said, I want you to pray for all my family. So we prayed for him once. And we had to pray for him again. And we had to pray for him again. And then it was going, you know, the last person, the oldest person has to pray for him. Because that's important. Age, you know, if you want to be respected for your age, get out in the mission field. Yeah? Because they respect age. You know, you young guys. And I'm thinking of you young guys. Why are you wasting your lives? Why are you wasting your lives fiddling around doing fiddly little things? Get out there. Get stuck in. Yeah? If God's opened up a door, jump in of your own feet. You don't want to get to the age of 90 and regret it. Yeah? And to be honest with you, decades roll on, can, I've been told by all the people, can roll on fairly fast. I have yet to experience that. You know, so you want to start moving, start now the way you mean to continue. Yeah? Start now the way you meant to. I really felt that. It was important to say that. Because you can get your focus and left and the right. And, you know, if you've got a glimmer of an open door, you push your way through it. Yeah? You take with both hands what God has got for you. There might only be one little opportunity, one little course that you can sign up for, like the Way of the Spirit course on a Friday night. But you get involved and God will start to move. And you throw yourself into it. You know, it says in Romans chapter 10, how will they believe unless they hear? Yeah. And how will they hear unless someone has been sent? And it says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good tidings. Yeah. And we've got a mighty message. Yeah, the message we've got is incredibly powerful. Yeah. The quality of life that we've got on inside is just so fantastic, is that people... lives will get transformed, yeah? But you'll only move into the fullness of that as you start going. So it's a very simple message, but God is on the move today. And I think he's challenging you. It's time to rise up. And it's time to get involved with the purpose that God has got for your life, yeah? And so it's the same message as last time. But this is the message I've been given, is to stir up and motivate people to go. Yeah? And because I believe that from this morning, my faith is that God is speaking to people here this morning. He's putting his hand on it, and you look beyond the humour of it, and you start to see that God has actually got his finger on you. And you're starting to say, move out of the realms of possibility into the realms of impossibility. Yeah? And your life is tied up in eternity. And when you get to heaven, and this is something that Colin Urquhart has preached on again and again, and it blesses me so much. And he's preached in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, God's going to test your work to see if the silver, gold, or precious stones. And what you want is a collection of silver, gold, and precious stones. There might be quite a bit of rubbish that gets burnt up, so what, you know, but I want some good stuff there when I get to heaven, yeah? And you want to go in, yeah? And you want this year, what are you going to do? And dare to ask God, what do you want to do in my life this year, yeah? I was thinking, oh no, God, if I say that to you, I was thinking that this morning, you've already called me to Zambia, I can cope with that, but what do you want me to do later on this year? Yeah? And because I know what he's like. you ask the question, he'll get excited, he'll jump in, and he'll give you an answer. Yeah? And don't say, God doesn't want to use me, he wants to use all of you.
Yeah?
And this is a pioneer's church. And I believe the spirit of mission is coming on this church. That God, the spirit of great commission, there's a stirring going on. And people are going to start wanting to go. Yeah? And we're going to set an example of what a normal Christian is like. Because the current view of normal Christianity is completely wrong. The normal Christian actually does go on mission. A normal Christian goes and does the stuff around, does amazing things. That's what Jesus says, that you will do the same works as me, you'll do greater works than I will do. Amen? So, anyway, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord. I believe, Lord, you're touching people this morning just to step out of their comfort zone. I believe, Lord, you're calling people, Lord, to step into the plan and the purpose that you've got for their life, Lord. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you're taking that out, you're setting them free from limitation, from human limitation. And you're showing them, Lord, the realm of the impossibility that you want to take them into, in Jesus' name. And I just believe, Lord, you're calling people to jump into the river of God. You're calling people, Lord, to jump into the purposes of God for their life, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, sometimes, Lord, that means they've got to shake off idleness, Lord. They've got to shake off, Lord, the things that have held them back and fatigue, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, that you want to set them free, Lord. You want to stir up your spirit that is in them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Lord, for the river of God, because it's so amazing, Lord, to be in your river, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are a church, Lord, that's going to make a worldwide impact. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord. We believe, Lord, there's not a nation on the face of the earth, Lord, where we will not make an impact. We thank you, Heavenly Father, you will take us, Lord, into all kinds of places, from the Soviet Union, ex-Soviet Union, to everywhere, Lord, right across the earth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, Lord, that we are a church, Lord, of disciples, Lord, and the Lord, I thank you, Father, we are a church, Lord, committed to making disciples, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.